What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambi, and this is Ambiguity with Ambi, an interview podcast where I speak to guests who have encountered countless spaces and moments of ambiguity and uncertainty to discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all? And welcome back to another episode of Ambiguity with Ambi, where we discuss what it's like to navigate spaces and moments of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your host, Amber, aka Ambi, and today I am joined by an author, nutritional lifestyle coach, mindset strategist, personal trainer, podcaster, health and wellness coach, Lejeune, I don't know how many other things I might have missed, but we are joined by the amazing Lejeune. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. 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 You are so welcome. You are awesome. 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 And you are so welcome. I've had the opportunity to get to know you a little bit in one of our virtual coffees, but can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
So, as you said, I'm Lejeune, born and raised in Louisiana, small town in Louisiana. Went to college in Dallas, moved to the DMV area like 20 years ago, and currently live in Maryland. As you said, I am a personal trainer, a podcaster. I am a nutritional lifestyle coach. I'm a board certified health coach. I'm a certified health and wellness coach. I am also a girls sports coach in areas of softball and track and field. That is, you know, some of the things that I do. I'm really passionate about advocating and educating the community, Black and brown people, because we kind of get pushed back when it comes to health, wellness, nutrition, mental health, and things like that. So that is very important to me.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. And honey, the list of titles is long. Come on, you better be out here. So you've told us what you do. You've told us a little bit about your passion, but I want to dive a little bit deeper and know a little bit more about you in something I like to call Fast Five. So I'm going to ask you about five questions, and I just need you to tell me like the first thing that comes to mind. And if you got a why to go with it, go ahead and share that with us too. So you are in communications with somebody new. What do you prefer, call or text?
Call.
Okay. Okay.
And because it, you know, calling and hearing somebody's voice, it kind of gives you more detail. I think text can be misconstrued because you can take it out of context, what the person is trying to say. And they're like, well, I didn't know, that's not what I was trying to say. So I think actually getting that clear understanding through a conversation is better.
Okay. Okay. I can see that. So if you have to choose between love or money, which one would you choose?
Ooh. Oh, I would say love. At the end of the day, the money will come if you work on it. But I think love is something that is harder to find and to get. So I would say love.
Okay. So staying in line with the concept of love, is love enough?
I have been in a relationship where I learned, it was my first time living with someone, and I learned that finances was a major thing in a relationship because I had always lived by myself. So in certain circumstances, no, love is not enough.
Okay.
Sometimes it's that balance of love, finances, intimacy, affection, romance, those things are, you know, key things. Communication are key things in a healthy, strong relationship.
I feel that. I feel that. So again, staying in this love line, there were two shows that I used to love in particular and still love reruns. And at times in one of the shows, there are these different love interests. And in this other show, I mean, they're in a relationship, so we follow their love life the entire time. So if you're watching television and you have to choose between the Fresh Prince and Martin, which one are you choosing?
Are we talking the new Fresh Prince or the old Fresh Prince?
We're talking the OG Fresh Prince, the okay. original. Yes.
Okay. I would say Fresh Prince.
Oh.
Because I know some people going to get mad, but sometimes that kind of gets annoying. So I would say, I think Fresh Prince gives you a balance of comedy, real life, and just that balance overall in the series. But Martin sometimes was a little over the top, but I like Martin though.
So one of the things that I know it happened on Fresh Prince a lot was Will was faced with these situations that were sometimes ambiguous and uncertain. So that's my final question for you. Have you ever faced ambiguity or uncertainty in your life?
Yes, a lot. Yes.
Oh, man, all of us, right?
All of us. And, you know, mine started young, losing my dad at the age of 6, you know, not knowing if your mom's gonna die.
Yeah.
You know, just finances, relationships. I've been in 3 car accidents the last almost 3 years. And just, you know, every time you get in a car, you know, it's the uncertainty of, is somebody gonna rear end me again or T-bone me? Yeah. So I would say definitely relationships. You know, I actually learned about myself that I had commitment issues. And, you know, when you're in relationships, you don't realize that you have commitment issues. And I figured it out. I was like, I'm in these relationships, but I'm not committed in these relationships because I'm not committed to myself. And I had to learn that I need to be committed to me. So the uncertainty of, and that was due to the fear of abandonment of losing my dad at a young age. So I would say, yeah, it's been a lot of uncertainties. And it is the whole thing of really honing in on it to see where things start from, where things could cause you to self-sabotage yourself to kind of get to a healthier space.
Yes. Okay. So, man, you mentioned so much right there, but something really stood out to me, the commitment piece. So what was that like in terms of facing that ambiguity? You said you eventually realized that you weren't committed to yourself. Can you take us through the journey of how you got to that revelation?
I would say it was during COVID or a little before COVID, the end of 2019. And just started, you know, kind of rewinding back to past behaviors in relationships. Like I would literally break up with people, put them in a friend zone, or before the relationship started, put them in a friend zone. And it was that commitment of, you know, it's stuff you say you want, but it's that fear because it was so much fear. It was the fear of, how is it going to turn out? It was also control because I couldn't control it.
Wow.
It was how it was going to turn out, what it's going to look like, what it looks like to, you know, to really love yourself. Because I went through anorexia when I was younger, had a knee injury, ended up gaining weight, was pre-obese, and just different things that was going on. And you really hone in on how you treating yourself, because that's commitment. How are you investing in you? You know, we get nice clothes, get our hair done, get our nails done, you know, but does that mean you love yourself? No, that means that you are showing an outer layer of who you are, but inside is what it's really about. So inside I was hurt. I was a hurt little girl. I was abandoned. I was dealing with grief. I was dealing with being molested. I was dealing with not having my voice heard. 2007, I was sexually assaulted. I'm dealing with all this stuff.
Yeah.
As a 6.5-year-old, 7-year-old girl, trying to navigate as an adult, because
Wow. You
really don't, you know, especially in Black and Brown communities, you're not really taught how to love yourself. Yeah. In some households, you're not even given an example of what love is. So it was me trying to navigate and control everything. And I was like, I wasn't committed. I was sleeping all day. I was depressed. That was, you know, in the anorexic stage, because I'm like, I'm not eating. In the pre-obese stage, I would find reasons to eat. Bad day at work, I'm stopping to go get something to eat. You know, me and my ex got into an argument, or at the time, you know, we were together, got into an argument. Oh, I'm going to get something to eat to make myself feel better. I was in my master's program. Oh, I'm stressed out about writing this paper. And I would eat a whole bag of chips or cookies or something like that. And it was just, and that's when you're not committed to yourself, because you're doing sabotaging behavior that is not healthy, that is affecting you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And sometimes you have to step back and say, dang, something's not right. What's going on? And that's when I started realizing I wasn't committed to myself. I was pouring more into my ex because I didn't know how to pour into me. I didn't know, you know, like, oh, this, I'm supposed to make you happy. I'm supposed to show you what love is. And then I realized I lost myself. I gained the highest weight I had ever gained. I got to 193. Most people will say that's not a lot, but when you were 115 and 120, that's a lot.
A lot for you. Yeah.
Or, you know, and you've been that size for a long time.
I would be like, girl, you ain't.
But
I get it. Because like that would be a lot for you in the moment of what was normal for you. That's excessive gaining. So I want to kind of take a step back, because you mentioned a lot of things that kind of led to this space of discovery. But I want to take a step back into like the emotional eating space, because myself included, and I know probably some listeners have definitely been in spaces where we've struggled with the emotional eating, whether it be going without food or indulging in food to make ourselves feel better. When did you realize, or how did you realize that that was a way that you kind of dealt with areas of uncertainty or ambiguity, or even internal areas of trauma or hurt that you hadn't tended to?
So it was really weird, because I have been anorexic since high school. And I think my mom thought that I was bulimic, because every time I would get ready to take a bath, she would just needed to get something from the bathroom. And she's like, oh, I need to get, I'm like, you can't wait till I come out or whatever. And she's like, no, I need to get it now. And then she'll come in and she would just magically forget what she came to get.
Kind of hovering.
Yeah. And I'm like, you should know I would never make myself throw up, because, you know, I love my teeth. My teeth are healthy. And throwing up will mess up your teeth.
Like, it'll mess up your teeth. Like, you're not down like, for that.
Nah, we ain't doing that. And my friends will make little comments about, you know, oh, you get full off of one French fry from McDonald's. And it was like, okay. So it was like they kind of knew, but they really didn't know. And I would sleep all the time. And when I had my knee injury, things changed, because I think a lot of stress, I was in school, a lot of stress was on me. And they told me I couldn't drive, which was like, so now I got to depend on somebody. That's not something that anyone wants to hear. And it went the opposite way, where I was eating and sleeping and watching TV and doing schoolwork all day, because I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't train my clients. And things start coming up, you know, the molestation, the sexual assault, dealing with losing my dad, not having my voice heard, of telling my mom that my cousin was molesting me. Like, stuff was coming up, financial stuff. Like, I'm not happy where I am financially. I'm stuck. and you know, I want my own place. I want this, I want that, but I can't afford it. I don't know how to get it. It just started coming up, up, up. And that was, you know, where I was. And I got ready to go to a doctor's appointment and I could not get my pants past my knee. And I was like, what the heck? And I had gained at least 20 pounds.
Wow.
And that was, dang. And it just kept going up. Every time I went to the gym to lose the weight, it just kept going, or either I would get sick or something would happen. And then I realized in 2019, I was like, you weren't successful with losing weight because you hadn't dealt with your past. You hadn't released it. You hadn't come to terms with it. You hadn't let it go. So you're not going to ever lose the weight until you deal with the past. So I released my past and I was able to lose the weight. I did a food sensitivity test, cut out everything that was on it, dropped 12 pounds. And that wasn't even with exercising. That was just changing mindset and nutrition.
Wow. So I want to jump back to where you said you released your past, because that's a big statement. So when you are discovering that a lot of what you're feeling is related to past trauma, how did you get to the point where you could release it?
So I actually got help with that. I went to a retreat in 2019 in Bali. Mm-hmm. One of my friends invited me.
Wow.
And honestly, I'm telling you, it was God, because I did not have the money. I was working a job making $50,000 with a master's degree annually, was behind on bills. My car note is like 500 and something. Payments were like five something a month to go to this retreat. And somehow I managed to find the money. It was God. I ain't even going to say manage. It was nothing but God, because God was like,
God, you need
this. You need this. You need this healing, because I'm tired of you and you need to elevate.
Like,
so,
let's get to the source of this issue.
So yeah, let's get to it. So I went, and I had went to therapy when I was sexually assaulted, and I tried to go back to therapy to someone else, and that one didn't quite work out. The first one, she was great, but she didn't take my insurance. So
that's always tough.
Yeah, so I went and learned so much, because I already knew I suffered from grief, but I didn't know it was abandonment too, because, you know, you never connect grief and abandonment, because nobody willingly dies unless it's by suicide.
Right.
But, you know, she was like, you suffer from abandonment, you suffer from grief, you're suffering from, you know, a broken heart, you're suffering from emotional disconnect, because I do have issues with disconnecting my emotions, because I didn't want anyone to ever see me as weak. I always wanted to be looked at as strong. I didn't want to be looked at as happy, because that means that if you look at me as being happy, you look at me as being weak, and I'm never weak. So I learned
a lot.
Tell
me about that connection real quick between happiness and weakness.
So if you know, you kind of think of when somebody is really happy, or you see somebody that's happy, some people like, oh, well, you think you have it all going on. You understand everything. And, you know, sometimes you hear the old saying of, you ain't nothing but a fool, because, yeah, you out here cheesing and grinning and all that. You don't know that. And that's when people try to test those people, because they think that, oh, well, yeah, you weak.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
So, but when somebody, you know, and it was somebody, I remember I was 12, somebody came up to me. We were at a church outing at an amusement park, and one of the church members was like, you don't look happy. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I'm not happy. I've been molested half my life. I lost my dad. No, like, I'm not happy.
Okay.
Like, get what you get. But, and that used to be my attitude. You get what you get. But I was never mean or, you know, disrespectful to people. But I wasn't going out of my way to show emotions to people.
I got you.
So Bali helped me a lot. You know, you never think of you need to forgive yourself because you always place blame on everybody.
Wow.
And I started looking at things that I was doing that I caused myself, that I was like, you know, hey, I got to forgive me. Like, I love me. I forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, I trust me. And I had to forgive God because, of course, God's the creator of all things. So you like, well, dang, God, why'd you take my dad? Why'd you allow me to get molested? Why'd you allow this and this and this? Forgave my mom, my dad, my molester, you know, just anybody that I felt that did something to me and was able to release my past. And that was the start of releasing my past. I wrote my book, which is, you know, releasing my trauma and just really understanding the things that contribute to my behaviors of self-sabotaging. So that was the major thing of, I think it's important that people have to release their past. And it's not easy. It's not going to be that nothing's going to come up. Stuff is still going to come up, but it's how you're handling it and how you're being aware of it.
Yeah. Wow. So you hit a couple amazing things. One, the concept of grief and abandonment being so tied together, regardless of if the person does not choose to die or if you do have a complex situation like suicide. I'd never really considered the concept of abandonment being tied to that grief. So that right there in itself is so profound. And then what you just mentioned also about the forgiveness piece is something that I think a lot of us struggle with, like truly understanding how to engage in the forgiveness and then even acknowledge the fact that, you know what, sometimes that forgiveness does need to be like forgiving God. Sometimes that forgiveness does need to be forgiving self. Sometimes that forgiveness does need to be forgiving insert thing or person here. Like, and sometimes, like, especially when it comes to like self or God, it could be tied to like you not even actively doing anything, but sometimes what feels like passively allowing something. Like, so as you navigated one, the discovery of the abandonment connected to the grief, but two, the realization that forgiveness was necessary and forgiveness in all these areas of all these entities was necessary. Like, how did you navigate that revelation?
So it started to make sense because then I started looking at relationships. I started looking at, you know, my first love, which was my high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And it was that fear. I really, really loved him, but it was that fear of you're going to leave.
Wow.
And I kept throwing them in a friend zone, And I started looking at my behaviors in other relationships, things that I would say. My last relationship, first thing I said was, if I can't make you happy, then I'm okay with us just being friends. So you start to look at behaviors because it's that fear of you're going to leave. So I'm going to control this narrative the best way I can because you're going to leave. So, and you know, you also have to be mindful of what you say and what you believe, because you're absolutely right. If you're already putting it out in the universe that this person is going to leave, you're right. They are going to leave. So I had to learn, you know, about my words and my thoughts and things like that. And just, you know, when it came to jobs that I wasn't committed to, I would, you know, be like, oh, I don't like this job. And I would go to another job and get the same type of job. So it's all about attraction. If you're not healed, you're going to attract the same mess over here. So it was, you know, it was like a light bulb of, dang, all this makes sense.
Wow. Wow. So once things started to make sense, how did you find it within yourself or find the strength to begin forgiving yourself, forgiving God, forgiving others for all the things that had kind of led up to this moment?
So I had to really, you know, go back to where did it start? And then I started realizing, okay, you were a child trying to navigate as a grown woman. Yeah. Who didn't have the tools of operating as a grown woman. So that was the first step of the realization. I remember moving to Maryland and going to church, and it was a pastor that came to me and said to me, you need to forgive God, you need to forgive your father, and you need to forgive your mom. And I had no clue what she was talking about and how the heck she knew that. And that was just, and I heard it another time, this lady that I worked with came to me and said the same thing.
Wow.
And then when I went to Bali, it was just like, okay, the layer of cakes was adding up. Mm. Now it was the icing on it.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this is not the first time I heard it. So let me start with forgiving myself, because you can't forgive nobody else until you forgive you. So I was like, let me forgive myself, because I have been really hard on myself. When I mean hard, I mean hard, where at times I would call myself stupid. I'm like, that was dumb. Why would you do that? Things like that. And I'm like, well, let me forgive me. Let me go to God, because God, you know, all these things that has happened for a reason, in order for me to be in the place that I am right now, to be able to be a testimony to help other women and also men in dealing with grief and dealing with sexual assault and things like that. So, and also little girls, because I've had a client, a young client who was obese. She lost her dad at a young age, you know, being able to take that there, you know, forgiving my dad, because I know my dad loved me. And, you know, he did fight until then. He drowned and he couldn't swim, and he fought until the water took him down. You know, my mom did the best she could with the tools that she had. Looking at my molester, I don't know what he experienced in his life, things like that. So I had to look at it from a different lens, instead of looking at it from the angry little girl lens, and look at it from the adult lens of people do what they sometimes experience. People do the best that they can with the tools that they have.
Yeah. Wow. I think you, man, just in that space said so much. I mean, even that last sentence that people do what they can with the tools that they have, like, is such a huge and profound statement. One of my friends has said something similar before in one of our conversations. And she's like, people don't really realize how many people are out here trying to use a screwdriver to drive in a nail, or trying to use a hammer to drive in a screw. Like, people are using what they have to try and get by, to accomplish things that they need to accomplish to make it throughout life. And I love that you have kind of taken the time to go through the process to gain and accept that revelation, because I imagine that that could be freeing, or that would be freeing, to get to that point.
It is definitely. When I came, before I left Bali, the people, it was a total of 6 of us, and they were from different places. And they said, you look different than what you came in. Wow. You look so at peace and you look happy. I came back to Maryland. I came back, went to work, and everybody was like, you look so happy. And hearing that word, I didn't receive it like I did years before. I was like, because I am happy. I'm at peace. I feel blessed and I'm overjoyed. And that's how I felt. And I was like, really, really, really in a good place, and I am still in a good place. So,
wow. So do you think that when you were equating happiness to weakness, it was because that happiness at that time was fragile, so it could be impacted? If you attempted to embrace it, it could be easily impacted. Whereas when you came back from Bali, like that happiness was so like authentic and real and joyous and centered in peace that it was something that wouldn't necessarily be as easily shifted or shaken by the outside.
I think when I was younger, happiness was a part of me not being able to protect myself from my molester. And wow. Because he was older, he was a teenager, I was, you know, a kid, elementary kid. And it happened from infancy up until I was about 10 or 11. And when you feel like you can't protect yourself, you feel weak.
Mm.
And I felt weak, and I didn't want to feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to ride, get off the bus, boys would grab my butt, and I would throw my book back down, and I would fight them because I could fight them. I couldn't fight a teenage boy. So just that connection of happiness was, I couldn't protect myself.
Mm.
And I, you know, I talked to God when I was younger and I would pray, but I didn't understand how God worked. So in my adult life, I understand how God works. You know, you pray, you ask God for stuff, but it's the understanding of, do you believe what you're praying for? Are you faithful in what you're praying for? You know, do you truly believe you deserve or worthy what you're asking for? And most of us pray, but we don't feel that we're worthy and we deserve it. And we don't really believe it because it's that whole fear factor of, it ain't gonna happen, because in the back of your mind, it ain't gonna happen.
Hmm.
So I started to really understand how God works.
Yeah.
And I looked at happiness in my adult life differently, because it was to say I didn't care. You know, it's that whole fearless process of, I don't care how you see me. I don't care, because this is for me now. It's not for anybody else. Before, it was for show, because it was about how I wanted people seeing me. But now I'm in a place of, I don't care what you think about me. It's about how I see myself, how I love myself, and how I appreciate myself, and how God sees me. Everything else is just, okay, it's an added bonus. If you're on my team, that's great. And I have people, not to say, I have a great support system that will tell me in a minute, girl, no, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Why'd you do that? And I appreciate that, because it's realistic and it's from an authentic place. So my happiness is different than what it was, because now I understand what happiness is. And it's not about, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, people will say, and I've recently had people say to me that's trying to, you know, talk to me or date me or court me or however you want to say it, I want to make you happy. No. And I'm like, nope, because you can't make me happy. Only I can make me happy. You can contribute to what I already have, but you need to be happy first. So that's the difference from my happiness then and my happiness now.
Ooh, goodness gracious, Lejeune. Oh my goodness, you just came in here with a whole word. My goodness. I think we're going to end up calling this episode Ambiguous Happiness. Gee. Oh, that was so good. That was so good. So, you know, I'm not even going to press on. We just going to hit it with the last question, because that was so good. That was such a good, like, wrap up. Oh, my goodness. That was so good. Okay, let me get myself together for a second. Whew. Okay, so after all of that amazingness and all that wisdom and whatnot you just dropped on us, if you could give myself or any of our listeners any additional final advice, or remind us of something that you've already mentioned, as final advice, what is it that you would say to us?
I would say release your past, forgive yourself, get the resources and the services needed to learn to start loving yourself, to find self-happiness, to find self-peace, find self-joy, and to really tune into yourself, to start learning things about yourself, because sometimes we ignore things and we point the finger, but when we point, what happens? You got three pointing back at you.
Right.
So start looking at how you contribute in relationships or, you know, in employment and, you know, family and things like that. Even with yourself, you know, if you're not happy, why aren't you happy? Start looking at things that are contributing to your unhappiness. So I would say definitely those things are very important. You know, don't try to pour into other people when you're running on E. And that's what we do, because we try to ignore and avoid what's going on with us. We start, okay, well, I got to clean up and I got to do this and I got to sit down, be still, sit in silence, figure yourself out, start to enjoy your own company, because sometimes your own company is the best company ever. So start to, you know, really get to know you and learn you so you can start attracting better, because some of the questions I get a lot in being a health coach, and also my clients talk to me outside of health coaching that I personal train, where they're like, well, why can't I find anybody and why can't this and why can't that? Why? Because you're not finding you and you're not going to find the person that you want. Wow. So you got to find you. You got to be happy with you for you to attract what you want. And stop selling. Stop selling with yourself and stop selling for other people. Because nah, just to say I got a man or I got a woman. No, stop doing it. Please stop.
Woo. Listen, you better let the people know. Let the people know.
Yes. So that's what I would have to say to the people.
Oh my goodness. And to me, listen, there was some that I was like over here kind of talking, duck and dodge, because I was like, ooh, that one was for me. But oh my goodness, this has been so, so great. Thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing so much of yourself with myself and the audience. So, so, so appreciate it. For those audience members that connected and want to go get your book or want to connect with you further, how can they get connected with you? Where can they find you?
So you can find me on LaJuneSingleton.com, on LinkedIn and Facebook, LaJune Singleton, Instagram, I am LaJune Singleton, also on YouTube, LaJune Singleton. You can get my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Apple, Google, Bo, and a whole list of other locations. But if you want a autographed copy, you can go to my website and put in contacts that you want to purchase a book and an autographed copy, and I will mail it to you.
Awesome. 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 Like I said, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us on this episode of Ambiguity with Ambi. And to the audience members and listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I challenge you to take that time to truly find yourself and discover your true and authentic happiness. Until next time, I'll see you. Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Amber. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at I am Amber Latrice. Thanks again. And until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambie.